Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we have various speakers that come on. Everyone is familiar with Elder Rose Cook, who is now Pastor Rose Cook from out of Atlanta, Georgia. And she was going to be speaking this evening on from the book of Jonah 1:1, the book of Jonah 1:1. And her topic is, don't let your perceptions stop you from doing your assignment. We're going to have prayer, and of course, for those of you that are tuning in for the first time, we have prayer, and directly after that, we turn it over to the speaker, and this is an interactive Bible study. What is that? An interactive Bible study means that you have the opportunity to, to participate. When you call in, you will be connected, and everyone can hear exactly what you're saying. So again, we are almost like sitting around the round table and just sharing the word of God. Amen. So we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to Pastor Elder Cook. Father, we thank you for this opportunity another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for your heavenly promises, a promise that you would never leave us, nor would you forsake us. And Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're able to utter your word, Heavenly Father, one to another, as encouragement as we move on our journey. Father, bless this speaker that's going to share this this evening, Father. We pray that you would just let the words of the mouth and the meditation of the heart be acceptable in thy sight, that we would all be on one accord in the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Cook, are you there? Hello? Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Yes. Amen. That was my error. I thought you was potted up, and you was not. I just looked, and you was not potted up. We just thank you for your participation that God gives you to share a word with those who are listening from wherever they're listening from. And we're going to be obedient, and we're going to turn it on over to you as we listen to the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I thank you for this opportunity, Elder Clay and Dr. Suzanne. Thank you for this time and this appointed time that I could give a word for you on today. I believe this is an end-time message. It's a lesson that we can dialogue and talk about. Like Elder said, that this is an interactive Bible study, so if you have any input, you can always input. I don't mind if you like to interject and piggyback off what I say. So tonight I ask that you do talk back to me tonight, because I would like to know your thoughts as well. Amen.
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 Amen. I hear a lot of noise in the background. But we bless God in today. Now, it calmed down now. It was a lot.
Okay.
Amen. And so tonight, we're going to the book of Jonah. We're dealing with chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. For the sake of time, I'm just going to deal with these three scriptures. I do behoove you that you do read the rest of Jonah, the book of Jonah, because it's a very good book. It's a very good lesson to read at your leisure time. Amen, because there's so much stuff in this book of Jonah that I can't get to tonight. But if you read yourself, you can get a whole lot out of it, and you can apply it to your everyday life. Amen.
Amen.
And so as we go on, Jonah, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, if I get a little bit more time, I'll go down more to more scriptures. But for time, it reads, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. For Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it. to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, the pronunciation of the words I might be off on, but bear with me. I'm going to read the fourth verse as I'm in it now. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And the word of God is blessed. I'm going to stop right there. My message, my subject lesson tonight is don't let your perception stop you from doing your assignment. Amen. In other words,
amen.
What I'm talking about is the job that God has called you to do. I believe everybody has an assignment in their life. Everybody has a responsibility in their life, and that is to do the work of the Lord. Amen. And so as we look at the text, we're going to go into the text. So as we look at the text, Jonah was a prophet of the northern kingdom of Israel. In other words, he was chosen by God to speak and to be the mouthpiece for God. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Here we're talking about him as being a prophet, a mouthpiece for God, someone to give direction, correction, prosperity in someone's life. Amen. Jonah had this type of assignment on his life. And his assignment was very important. His assignment was to the people's life. And I also realized as a prophet, you know, that's a great assignment on your life. If God has called you to the prophetic anointing or to the prophetic, that's a great assignment. And
amen.
Assignment takes a lot. There's a lot of discipline. This ain't in my message, but this is, you know, a prophet has to be disciplined. A prophet has to be able to commune with God, have a relationship with God. Amen. To hear what God is saying in this time, in this hour. And so Jonah was that type of prophet. Amen. And so as we go on, as the text says, Jonah was called to speak to a city called Nineveh. The Bible said it was a large city that had wickedness going on. In this particular city, it was full of idolatry. In other words, people were serving other gods, putting God last in their lives and not doing what was required for them. They were also people of proud, arrogant, rebellious. It was a rebellious city, a ruthless nation. You know, they did things that wasn't pleasing in God's eyes. And it sounds like that today. Sound like we live in this particular city as well. And I can imagine how wicked it was because I'm from a big city and New York City, and where you find all types of nationalities, all types of people, all types of cultures. And when you get into these different types of cultures, they begin to serve other foreign gods. They begin to do other things that's not pleasing in God's sight. When you see a big city, there's so much going on. Talking about idolatry. People are, you know, serving other gods, serving other gods like your car, like and when it's time for you to go to church or God has called you to do something, it's more important for me to wash my car. That's part of idolatry. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Making your job idolatry. I can't go to work because I can't go to church because I got to be at work. You know, putting your job before God. These are the things that are idolatry as well. Amen. Serving other foreign gods. You know that God is a jealous God, and there's only one God. Amen.
Amen. Yes,
and so we got to be careful with that, not to deal in that, because that's unpleasing to God and is not prosperous in God. Amen.
Amen.
We find in the big city where I came from, as we talk about it every day, you know, homosexual, same-sex marriage. These are things that are happening in the big city as well. Amen. We mm-hmm. begin to love. We begin to love. You know, be lovers of our own selves.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Selfishness. Amen. It said that it was a ruthless nation, meaning that they were mean, not nice, not nice people
mm-hmm.
to one another. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Arrogant. You know, God don't like that proud look. Amen. Because if you have
mm-hmm.
that proud look and arrogant, God can surely mm-hmm. cut you down real quick. Amen. And do you
mm-hmm.
wonder why you cut down so quick? Because you're arrogancy. And how can God talk through you when you have an arrogant spirit and a
mm-hmm.
rebellious spirit? Amen. Any questions before I move forward?
Amen.
Amen.
The mic's on.
And so this,
the mic's on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so this city was wicked. And the one thing that stuck out, too, was, you know, how did not know, you know, they're doing all these things, and they not think that God wouldn't be bothered by it? Or you or
mm-hmm.
not think that God would see what you're doing? Because God sees it all. And it just
mm-hmm.
kind of confused me, because I'm like, why would you do this knowing it's wicked and you know it's not pleasing unto God? And, you know, judgment is coming if you don't do right. And so I began to, you know, be baffled behind that and just say, like, wow, you know, a city like this. Amen. And so
Amen.
As I began to study the city, I found out in Genesis 10 and 11, if you know, Nimrod was the founder of Nineveh. When you go to Genesis 10 and 11, they'll tell you that he was the founder of Nineveh. He was the one who built the Tower of Babel, amen, and caused the people to rebel against God. And so when I looked at that, I realized that, and it made me feel like this was in the bloodline, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Started from Nimrod. Because he was wicked. He turned people against God. He turned the people to be rebellious to God. And then here he built a city of Nineveh, and they're doing the same thing. Amen? And so that lets me know that it was in the bloodline. And how do you know when things are in the bloodline, you got to begin to curse it? Amen? Because you don't want that to travel onto the next generation.
Amen.
Amen. You know, if you got some, you know, liars in your bloodline, you need to curse that so it doesn't fall onto your grandchildren or your children.
All
Amen.
Right.
Any questions as we move forward?
Amen.
Amen. So it's important, if you got alcohol or drugs in your bloodline, begin to curse it at the root. Amen, because you, like I said, you don't want it to travel into your children or to your generation.
That's right.
And so this is what I have seen in this particular text in Genesis 10 and 11, how it was already planted in the bloodline. And it passed on to generations. And God was tired of it. Amen. He was tired of what was going on in this particular city. And that's why he had called Jonah to speak a word to these people. Amen. The cry was, the Bible says in the second verse, it was a cry out. God began to, when I look at that, God began to hear and see the cry, the hearts of the people. That's when I look at cry out. Cry out to me is that God hears your heart. He hears the pain. He hears the wicked. He hears the things that's going in your heart. And sometimes you got to be careful what's in your heart. Amen? Because if your heart ain't right, I believe God will cause judgment upon you.
Amen?
Amen. Any questions? We're going to move forward.
Amen.
Amen. So these people were rebellious against God, doing things that wasn't pleasing in God's sight. Amen. And I could just imagine just the thoughts and the and the activities that were going on in this particular city, that it was so great before God that God was going to cause judgment to come to it. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
And so, go ahead. Any questions? Amen. And so the text goes on to say that Jonah flee. He ran from his call. I want to stop right here and talk, and maybe somebody can have some dialogue with me right here. He ran from his calling. In other words, he was refusing God's commission. And how do you know that you can't run from God? Amen. If God has called you to do something, and some of you I know God has called you to do your assignment, there's assignment on your life and you're running. I come to tell you tonight, stop running. Stop running and begin to do the assignment of the Lord. Amen. Any questions as I move forward?
Amen.
Amen. How many know that you cannot hide from God? Because God sees all. He's omnipresent. And when I looked at this text, I was like, and Jonah was a prophet. You know that you can't hide from God. Because he's always there. Amen. I realize that, you know, if you have assignment on your life, God will get you eventually. So why don't you do the assignment that God has for you? Amen. You got to realize, you know what, it's not about you. We got to get to that. Know that it's not about you. It's about the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. There's a job for you to do. There's people that you need to see. There's people that you need to reach. And I believe if God didn't want you to do that assignment, if he know that you can handle it, if he didn't know that you can handle it, he would never have gave you that assignment. He would never equip you if he knew that you couldn't handle it. So that comes to let me know you need to trust him. When God gives you that assignment, trust him. Hallelujah, because he made us. He knows our beginning and he knows our end.
Amen.
Any questions as I move forward?
I just want to bring a comment. God is light. Sometimes he has something gives us a task he wants us to fulfill, and this is his will, but we can't run and hide in the dark because he's light, and light overtakes darkness, and he will see what the situation is, and you're not going to be able to hide. You hide in the closet, he's going to open the door, and light's going to come in. He knows what you're up to. He knows what he wants you to do. You're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be disobedient to God, rather than consequences.
That's right.
If it's his will for you to do it, it will be done. And we have to praise and sing our praise to God for what he has done for us. And things may look dark at times, but anyway, there's life. You just have to open your eyes and look at it. That's God. This is his word.
That's right. Amen. And when you don't do, like Brother said, when you don't do the assignment, you're being disobedient to God. You're not obeying the call that God has for you in your life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so then I continued to study and I began to look at it even more. I asked the question. I said, why did Jonah didn't want to do this? And I studied a little bit more, and it showed me that Jonah, he didn't want to save them. He wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. He felt that they deserved God's judgment because of their idolatry, because of their pride, because of their ruthlessness. He figured they deserved it. But see, you know what? That's why I come to my message tonight. Don't allow your possession to stop you from doing your assignment. Even though you may see that, but God has another look. Amen? He sees it another way. And you can't stop doing your assignment because a person is one way. If God told you to do it, no matter how crazy they look, no matter how they are, if God put that in your spirit, you need to go ahead and do that. Amen?
Amen.
Because once again, it's not about you. It's about doing the work of the Lord.
Amen.
And you don't even know what, and by you ministering to them, you don't even know what that would have done for this city. By him going and speaking what God has given unto him to tell the Nivea, the great city, you know, by him doing that, you know, God, as you read on later on, you know, the message was, Jonah, he went and told him. He did what God told him to do because he knew that God was going to restore them and give them another chance. Amen. Any questions as I move forward?
I kind of see Jonah almost like the average person. God will speak. God speaks to us, but sometimes we just don't want to move forward because of we've put judgment on the people or on the person. We've made a judgment, and judgment is that they don't deserve what God is going to give them. So we choose not to do that, or we have a certain attitude about a particular group of people, a particular person, and and that prevents us from moving forward to do what God wills us to do. So, you know, when I hear you saying that, it kind of speaks to just, you know, the average, the average man and woman, just the attitude of that judgment that we place on people, on groups of people.
And on ourselves, we're fearful. Out of fear, sometimes we don't listen, you know, don't follow the Lord. Or like you said, sometimes that your calling can be outside your profession, that you're afraid because it's something different, it's something new, or you're doubtful, did I really hear God?
Mm.
You know, is this really what I'm supposed to do? I'm so comfortable over here. If I do that, I got to learn something new. I'll be uncomfortable. Suppose that that wasn't God, you know. So
God gave us gifts. He created, we're made in his image. He created us. He gave us gifts to love each and every one of us. Every hair on our head, every hair on our body, he knows it. But he was saying, he knows where our talents are, and he selected us to accomplish a certain task because he knows we can accomplish it. He's given us the gift to be able to, the talent, maybe the talent to sing, the talent to dance, the talent to talk. But you gave you that talent, and there may be some barriers that you had to go through to strengthen yourself in order to be able to do God's will. So you don't take that as a curse, you take it as a blessing. You know, maybe you can't walk. But anyway, that's a blessing if you're able to do other things and be more focused and get that job done. But you can't sit there and dwell on a bunch of negativity and the people you surround yourself with. You want to be able to make a difference. But you want to spread the gospel and do God's will, not your will.
Amen.
That's right. Right, because you can't go on your own agenda, you know. I'm not going to do it because this so-and-so, this person this way. But, no, I always say the blood is on your hands. Because if God is giving you that assignment or he gave you that word for that person and you stop their blessing or you prevent them from not being delivered, because of you, you got in the way. And sometimes we got to be careful not to allow ourselves to be in the way. We got to put ourselves in the back burner and put God first. We got to allow this flesh to die and let the spirit take over and take control.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, you know, we look, the Bible said, what's the scripture? It just left me. We walk by faith and not by sight. Even though your perception see one way, you got to look at it in the spiritual realm. I'm healed. If somebody is sick tonight, you may look like it. You're in pain. It looks like it, but you got to look at it in the spiritual realm and say, I am healed today. I'm delivered today. You may be jacked up, messed up, but you can't allow your natural perception to override your spiritual perception. And you got to take that spiritual perception and go with that and say, God, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm set free. And keep on living, because your natural perception will really mess you up and cause you to live in darkness and cause you to die. But I come to declare today that you live and not die. Amen. Amen. So that's important, that your perception, once again, I say it again, your natural perception, do not let that fool you. Because you are a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You are a winner in God's eyes.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions?
That's just the same. This is almost like with Jonah. Jonah was a winner in God's eyes, even though that Jonah had an attitude about the city, you know, because they were dealing with wickedness and prostitution, and in actuality, you know, that city was on the rise to becoming one of the power states. So, you know, Jonah really had an attitude because of the place and him going in. When God gives us, you know, as my brother said, when God gives us a word, he's going to equip us to be able to complete that assignment. It may look like that we cannot do that. It's almost like, you know, me? Who am I to do that? But if God has equipped us, if he has given us a word, he's going to equip us to complete that assignment.
But I just remember the tools necessary to get the job done.
I didn't hear you, sir. What did he say?
With the honor and the tools necessary for us to get the job done. We can't be afraid to accomplish what God has directed us to do.
That's right.
Can you hear him? Can you hear?
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay.
Yes. That's right. Just to piggyback off that fear, you know, that's the spirit of fear. Once again, it can stop your blessing, stop you from moving, you know, in God. You know, you fear to step out. But, you know, you got to pray against that fear. Go ahead, sir.
Sometimes we question whether it's God or not, and we've grown so far away from God that we don't know the voice of God anymore. And through so much today, speaking on today, through so much social media and all of the different things that we're connected to, you know, you want to question and really ask, do the people know God's voice? Do they hear God anymore? Because, you know, when he gives you the assignment, you should be able to know that that's him, you know. But a lot of times today, are we aware when God is speaking to us? That's the question we should ask ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I see God also looking at our relationship with God. And that's not on a monthly basis or a yearly basis. It needs to be on a daily basis that we pray and we talk to him. And he will answer us in his own way. But that is building a love relationship with God. And we have to continue to do that so we understand when he's communicating with us.
Amen. That's what I always say, you know, get an intimate relationship with God. You got to get intimate with God. Allow him to strip those things that's not like you in him and really get into him. Get into the word. Meditate on the word. You know, continue to have dialogue with God. You know, pray. Pray. I find myself praying all the time. Every minute, sometimes it's every minute, every second I'm praying to get my mind right. Because, you know, the perception, once again, looks messed up, but I got to keep on praying. I keep on believing. I got to keep on looking at the spiritual, look at it in the spiritual sense and not look at it in the natural sense.
As powerful as Jonah, you know, his calling and everything, you know, there's a possibility that he just feared to go to that city because of what he knew what's going on in the city of Nineveh.
That's right.
And you know, if you always, after you read about Jonah, you apply it to yourself and ask yourself the question, if God sent you to an area and you heard his voice, what would your response be? Would you go? I mean, I'm just saying, you're going to a area that you know nothing about. How would you?
Right.
Now, we're talking about a prophet here. And, and you know, so there's a lot that goes into it, but that it all comes to knowing that that's God that sent you and being obedient to the Spirit. See, so, and a lot of times what happens, people have never have an encounter where God has dealt with them and seen them through a situation. So when the first time when they hear God's voice, fear comes up, you know, to the assignment. So, I mean, it's a lot. But if you know the voice and you know the word, then you should be able to handle the assignment. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So sometimes I operate in the prophetic anointing sometimes, and sometimes the Lord leads me to maybe prophesy to my pastor, and sometimes it's like a little, like, you know, fearness, or, you know, like a little, like, you sure, God? Because I look at him as, you know, my shepherd, my under-shepherd, and my leader. God, you give me a word for him. You know, it's kind of like sometimes I get a little bit nervous. And so I could understand Jonah as well, like you were saying, sir, the fear of this particular city and all these things that was going on in the city. You know, you can be feared of stepping in. You know, so it does happen. And it was, and so that when God did cause me to speak to my pastor, I did it. In other words, God gave me the strength and the confidence to know, yes, I said it. Give the word to my pastor. And so what I'm saying is, you know, you do get that little fear or that little nervousness. I don't want to say fear, but a little nervousness. You know.
Yeah, because you wondering, you want to make sure it's God, and you don't want to mess up. You know.
Out of self.
And that's the biggest thing. But once you, to me, once you have done something from the call of God, then, you know, your confidence builds, see, and mm-hmm. then you know his voice, and you have that inner peace, and you know, okay, this came from God. I'm going to go ahead on and do this assignment, and you know you're in his hand, and he's going to protect you from whatever the situation is. But it's that first time is what you have to get through, that first time knowing the voice of God and handling the assignment. And I'm mm-hmm. quite sure that wasn't Jonah's first time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, comment on that fear, and, you know, and just really wanted to look back in terms of you prophesying on your pastor. Oftentimes, pastors, they speak out, they put out all the time. And I'm sure that he was blessed and he appreciated with you
mm-hmm.
pouring into him, you know, or her. I'm sure that they appreciated, you know, he or she appreciated that, again, because oftentimes that's what pastors are doing. They're constantly pouring out. And if you constantly take mm-hmm. this jar, and you're constantly pouring out, you know, there needs a time to be, it has to be filled. There's a time that it has to be filled. So, you know, I'm sure that was a blessing when you did just that. And again, you know, just piggybacking off of Jonah, you know, going to do what God had requested for him to do. His was not fear. His was just anger and hatred. He really, really hated Nineveh
mm-hmm.
because of
what he did
for him. So mm-hmm. so that was the attitude there. He didn't want to do it because he hated what they stood for. There was prostitution. Mm-hmm. There was wickedness. You know, there was idolatry. There was witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? there was so much going on there that he didn't feel that they deserved to hear from God.
That's right.
God wanted to bless them. He felt that they did not deserve that. So that was a judgment that was placed on that city. But that just goes to show that even though it doesn't make a difference where you are, you know, God can restore. God can restore. It doesn't make a difference where you are. God still has, he loves us enough, he still has his arms open, and he's waiting. He's waiting for us to turn around and change our ways. He gives us time. God gives us time.
Right.
And it's up to the person whether they choose to be about God or to be about the world. And that God gives
us
choices. He's not going to force us. He's going to give us choice. And that's what Jonah did. Jonah went there to give them a choice. Turn from your wicked ways.
Right. That's right. And see, he allowed his feelings about them get in the way of him missing his first call. Amen. So you can't allow your feelings to get involved if God is speaking to you to do something for someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've been talking about, it's not about you. I say it again. It's not about you. It's about you blessing that particular person that God has called you to do.
Amen.
And we get that, we have an issue with that. A lot of people do have an issue. I ain't going to say nothing to her because she was this and this and that. But you're not even messing, you're messing yourself up by not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're messing yourself up when you're not doing what God has told you to do. Because it says later on in the text that when he left, he went onto a ship, and God caused a great storm to come. While he was on the ship. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He allowed the storm to come. And I believe that, you know, when I look at this word as well, you know, God allows storms to come into our lives to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, like God is like, hey, I'm calling for you. You can't run. And he calls situations in our lives for us to look at and see that I need you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I need you to do the work that I called you to do. And sometimes he calls things in our lives to get our attention. I know that for me. I can speak for me, you know. If God told me to do something and I didn't do it, certain things come into my life to cause me, and I'd be like, okay, God, you got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do wrong? First of all, I'm asking, Lord, forgive me for what I didn't do that you told me to do. And I begin to repent. And say, Lord, forgive me. What are you trying to say to me? And so, you know, once again, he allows stuff, situations to come in your life to get your attention. Because we're so busy doing so other things, and sometimes we miss God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And that's why I always say it's important to stay with God, read your word, study your word, get in your word, you know, get to know him, and get to know him even more greater.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions before I move on?
Amen. I just wanted to comment in terms of, I think that's just important for those listeners that oftentimes that's where we fall short is by getting into the word. You know, oftentimes the Bible just sits there and we just don't open it. We talk about the Lord, but do we open it and read the Word? And that relationship that God wants is a one-on-one, because when we pray, we're talking to God. And when we read the Word, God is talking to us. And sometimes, oftentimes, it becomes a one-sided conversation.
Uh-huh.
We're constantly praying and talking to God, but we don't open the Word of God and read what God is saying. So in order to have a close relationship and in order to be able to hear the Word of God, it has to be both ways for that relationship to be strengthened. It has to be both ways.
I think I'll also add on to that. As I pray and meditate, deeply pray and talk to God on a daily basis repeatedly, and he doesn't answer me. But I do recognize, you know, from reading his scripture, reading his words, but also the people he sends to me, the surroundings I'm placed in, it's God talking to me. It may be in the crime victim support group or the pastor. It might be various friends. God is selected to be around me, and most of my friends, not all, are very spiritual, but I think that's not a coincidence. And they're talking, we're talking about God, you know, and his will and his way, but we strengthen each other. But that's not as that circumstance or accidental. That's God talking. I have to open my eyes and open my ears and listen. It has to be a two-way communication, reading, and not just by myself, but also in fellowship with other Christians.
Amen. Amen. That
Amen.
Fellowship is very important, too.
That That's
fellowship
right.
is so critical. It is so critical. It is so critical. We all are the body of Christ. We all are the, and God wants us connected, not divided, connected. Nowhere do you, are you going to see the arm separated from the leg.
That's right.
Or the foot separated from the hand. You're not going, everything is fitted jointly together. And that's where God wants the children of God. He wants us connected, connected. Not divided, but connected.
That's right. We are brothers keepers. We're here to help one another. You know, you see your brother down, pick him up. You see your sister down, pick her up. Pray for her. Don't talk about her. Go and pray for your brother and sister. They in need.
Mm-hmm.
Help them.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what somebody's going through. But anyway, sometimes we never know what a person's going through. But spiritually, you know, by just talking and reaching out, you can make a profound difference in their spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
And reaching out, you know, having a relationship with God. But we're a part of God. We're part of His family. And we have a responsibility to connect, like the arm and the hand connected to the arm connected to the body. But anyway, from a Christian perspective, we're a Christian body. We have to stay connected. You can't see your brother starving on the street and ignore him. Or someone ragged and in despair and ignore it because it's not you. You reach out to them.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
We help each other grow.
Say it again, sir.
We help each other grow spiritually and physically.
Uh-huh.
The hunger gets you fed.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
I want to ask, are there any other comments? I'm looking at some other numbers here, some out-of-state numbers. If anyone would like to comment, you know, please go on. Your mics are open. You know, it's an interactive Bible study. Amen?
Uh-huh. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. And so in my conclusion, because I'm at the end of it, you know, the good part of the story was even though Jonah failed his first submission, God gave him a second chance. And you can find it in Jonah 3, chapter 3. You know, God gave him another second chance to get it right. And we always say that God is a God of a second chance. He chases after who he loves. You know, you may mess up, but he's coming after you, you know, to give you another chance because he loves you.
Amen.
We see him how he You know, he was gracious enough to give Jonah another chance. Even though Jonah went into the well, he was there, you know, and the Bible said that he constantly talked to God while he was in the well. So that lets me know that even though he tried to run, God was right there in the well with him. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, that lets me know that God never leaves you. He's always there.
Amen.
You know, that lets me know that there, that he's always there. That's why you can't run. You can't hide. Because he's right there. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so God is a gracious God, that he gives us another chance to get it right. Every time when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, God, for another day and another opportunity to get it right before you.
Amen.
I'm always asking God, thank you for another chance. Because we mess up. We in the flesh, so we're not perfect. We mess up.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's
yes.
always, God, I thank you for another chance to get it right before you. Thank you, God, for allowing me to get a chance to get more closer to you, get into more relationship. So, you know, so even though you may mess up, but you get up and ask God to forgive me, and God give me another chance.
Amen.
Because he loves us. He's a God of love.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He loves us. Amen. And there's nothing like God's love. And see, I realized that, you know, because, man, you mess over man, they'll leave you to the side quickly. You did me wrong, or they don't like something that you did, man, do, they'll leave you right to the side and not give you another chance.
Amen.
But God is another second chance. He gives us another second chance to get it right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, you know, we may go through pain and things like that, but God is a God of another second chance. In other words, you don't have to be down. Whatever state that you're in, get up out of it, because God will give you another chance to get it right. That's why we don't have to mallow in our mess. We don't have to. Because if God is another God to give us a second chance to get it right before him.
Amen.
And so I say tonight, you know, don't let your perception stop you from doing your assignment. Don't look at it in the natural sense, but begin to look at it in the spiritual sense, God's perception, and do what he calls you to. Sit you down and put God in front of you. And begin to do the work. Because you know why? We need it. You know we're living in the last days. And God needs his people to stand up.
Amen.
If you say you belong to God, God needs his people to stand up and do what he's called you to do. Because you know there's so many lost souls out there. So many lost souls.
Amen.
That needs you to go out and minister and touch lives. I always say, you know, you're not on this earth just to be partying. You're not here for that. You're here to do the work of the kingdom. It's to build the kingdom. God's looking for building kingdom builders. That's what God is looking for in this day. That's going to build the kingdom and tear down Satan's kingdom. The Satan kingdom is up, and it needs to be teared down. And we as body believers need to come together and do what we have to do before the Lord and put away your feelings, your thoughts. Put that away and put on God's thoughts. And if you don't know God's thoughts, get into his word. Meditate, pray. Study his word. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. Amen.
Amen.
So once again, don't let your perception stop you from doing your assignment that God has called you to do.
Amen.
And
amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm done, Elder. Amen. So if there's any questions or anything that anybody would like to say, some comments.
Well, I know we have maybe about 4 minutes left, and I just wanted to say to those who are listening out there that God is, you know, and I'm touching on basically what was said, God is a God of second chances. So if you've made mistakes, do not feel like you are not worthy to serve God. Do not feel like you are, are you at your lowest? Don't feel like that, because God loves you, and God is willing to meet you wherever you are. Whatever situation you're in, if you're on that hospital bed, then God is willing and ready to meet you wherever you are. And that's what we do. We encourage each other. We encourage each other by the word of God. Amen? Because we never know what situation that person may be in, as my mother said, brother Moses said. We never know. We never know. A kind word, listen, God uses us in so many different ways. Whatever shape that you're in, you don't have to stay in that shape. God has his arms are open, and he's knocking. He's knocking, and all you have to do is just open up and just accept him. Just accept him. God loves you. God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. God loves you, and God is going to accept you just as you are. The God of second chances. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Any comments before we close? Any comments? Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was a timely word. Don't let your perception stop you from doing your assignment. And that is a trick of the enemy, perception. Looking in and thinking it's one way, and God is saying, no, it's not that. It's better than that. You're better than that.
Yeah.
So that is a timely word. A timely word. I do thank you for that. We're going to close on out. We invite you next Wednesday. We're going to ask, that you close us out in prayer. Next Wednesday we have New York, and that is Pastor Nixon will be coming on to share with us. Amen. So we invite you back next Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday. And all we do is just get on just to share the word of God and show love one to another. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You can close that in prayer.
Oh, okay. Amen. Before I close out, I do feel a heaviness in the atmosphere. And I just want to pray that, God, that you begin to break this heaviness in the atmosphere, God, that's on your people on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, I ask that you just begin to lift up this spirit of heaviness. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, whatever your people are going through right now, I ask, God, that you begin to take it away, God. We ask, God, that you begin to meet every need in their lives on today, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we ask, God, that you just come into their situation, God, and let them know that it is all well. Hallelujah, God. God, you said that we should cast everything unto you today, God, and I cast this unto you, God. I lay it at your feet tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, bless us on today, God. Every assignment that you've given unto us, God, allow us to do this assignment, God. Give us the strength, God. Cause us to walk in your strength and not our strength, God, that we begin to do the assignment that you have called us to do, God. I rebuke fear on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, God, that we go forth in your name, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we ask, God, that you begin to do it for your people today, God. In the name of Jesus, there is a cry out, God, hallelujah, in the atmosphere, God. And I ask, God, that we cry out unto you today, God, that you strengthen us, God. Give us the ability, God. Hallelujah, God. Give us the, hallelujah, the wisdom, God, the encouragement to go forth in your word, God, in the name of Jesus. And, God, we just give you praise today, God. Hallelujah. We rebuke the trick of the enemy today in the name of Jesus, the trickery of the mind. I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus, and I call for peace in the mind right now in the name of Jesus. I call it for your nation, for your people, God, everyone that's listening, God, on the airways today, God, and listening on the internet today, God, that you give peace to their spirit and their mind in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, God, for all things. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
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 Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
Alone again in a crowded room, cornered by the questions my mind. It's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I have is lost, it seems, from the shadow of a dream that you. I can look beyond the sky, deep into the Father's eyes, and see that there is hope for one like me. I can begin again with the passion of a child. My heart is cultivating of a life that's still worthwhile. Like a dreamer who's awakened to a life that's yet to come. For many kings are not just for the young. I face the dawn of each brand new day, free from all the doubt that grips my past. Thank you.
no, thank you.